Zorn, the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, we sing the praises of Zorn.
It's all Eric hail Zorn. King Zorn.
Yes.
Still like that song all these years later.
Thanks,
this
Eric.
Is my last day where I get to run down from my office to your studio.
That's how we've done it since the beginning, because yeah. We've all been in the same building, but soon we will be in different buildings.
My office is like almost exactly above you, four floors.
Oh, it is.
And I look at my clock at 11:35. I go, oh, no, Bill and Wendy. And
why
I
didn't you put in
stuff.
A bat pole at some point?
It would have been smart, that but this is so almost as fast. I just run down the stairs, and we're moving. The Tribune Tower, it was closing down.
When are you moving?
Friday.
Wow.
Our last day is Friday, and then on Saturday morning, the paper begins production. We're about four blocks south in the Prudential Building.
Yeah. So
that's a good building to be in.
So we'll be close, because you guys are moving, and a couple weeks after that, mm-hmm. you're moving across the river. So we'll be, I think we're connected by the Pedway.
Oh.
That'll be nice for inclement weather.
Yes.
That would be the first time I've ever been in the Pedway. I'm kind
You've
of afraid.
Never been in there?
No,
ever?
I'm a Pedway virgin.
Oh. It's so like
are you a Pedway phobe?
I don't know, because I have not been down there. I just have had no reason
they
to
have lights
go in
sometimes.
There.
I think it's
yeah,
lit.
There's lights.
So it's not like I have to burrow through
I've
something.
Been in it. It's kind of cool.
It is cool.
I mean, literally cool.
Aren't you amazed at how many shops and restaurants and things are down there? There's hundreds of them.
Apparently thriving, yeah. So we're all going like to be Pedway people, like mole people. So
Right.
I thought of you this weekend, by the way. I saw on your Facebook page you were playing, you were doing some fiddling at a farmer's market. Was it in Oak Park?
I play, and this is just a jam session in the Oak Park Farmer's Market on Saturday mornings. I usually take my fiddle out there and play. And that's just a circle of friends who get together and play, and they, you know, we don't put a hat out or anything. We just play for fun. But anyway, that's not what you're asking.
It makes radishes taste better.
Oh my,
I don't
sure
know why,
it
but it does.
People come and watch us play. But
yeah.
So you've been a fiddle player, and you've been attending the Old Town School of Folk Music for quite some time now, right?
Yeah, I've been associated with them for quarter century or so.
Have you really?
Yeah.
I've been trying to get my son Michael to go, and they're announcing their first ever one-day Chicago Blues Electric Guitar Clinic.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a full day, so I just wanted to talk to you about it off the air, and I wanted him to at least see the Old Town School of Folk Music.
We're not on the air yet?
No. Once you get in there, I just think he's going to fall in love like you did and want to attend classes and go.
It's a terrific place. They have all kinds of different classes, and you know, and it's not just folk music. It's not just, you know,
it's everything.
Red River Valley on your guitar. No, it's all it is all kinds of ethnicities and dance and music and singing, and it's a wonderful
and blues
place.
The one day blues clinic.
Oh yeah, blues,
so.
Pop, rock. Even I mean, it's a quite a diverse place up there on Lincoln Avenue in Chicago. And yeah, so when is this thing?
June 15th, and I may have to go and take some voice lessons again. I toy with that every once in a while.
So great, they got great teachers there. It's a terrific place. Mary Schmeek and I do our annual Christmas thing there.
Oh,
so.
That's right.
So
all right, well, cool.
Yeah.
Eric, in the past, as the months change, we bring you in to do the tweets of the month. Will you be doing the month's tweets?
I will be doing the month's tweets. I've collected the top 10 tweets for the month of
what
May.
What are they?
For the Well, I'm going to read them all really fast.
All right.
I'm going to give them a dramatic reading. And then, Jazz, I'm not going to attribute them because that sort of slows down my pace.
Why, if somebody thought of something, why should they get credit? That's our attitude, right?
We'll put it online on the Facebook page.
That's
and
fine.
So on.
That'll work.
And the thing is, some of them, like, I can't pronounce some of them. Weird Twitter handles.
Oh.
I had a situation recently where the winner of the tweet of the week had a risque handle.
Oh.
And we didn't know exactly what to do with it because we are not risque in my department.
No.
Tribune. We are
by the book.
We were scolded not to be coarse.
All right.
So I am not coarse.
Well, where did they pick up their prize money then?
The top tweets of May. If someone says they'd, quote, like a word with you, I can guarantee it's way more than one word, and you're not going to like any of them. I'm a little teapot, short and stout. And also, and this is the really amazing part, I can talk.
Sing.
Your grandkids are going to have to know Stormy Daniels' real name was Stephanie Clifford for AP history.
Maybe. Possibly.
I ruin my kids' knock-knock jokes by yelling, "It's open!"
Oh, that's mean and funny.
I'm sorry, but if you call anyone mother, including your own literal mother, Your house should be searched for bodies, and you should be sent to jail as a precaution.
My mom made us call her mother. She would did? Sign every card mother. When my brother had his kids, they had to call her grandmother.
No.
Well, really? Who in cinema history was famous for referring
Norman.
To their
well,
Norman Bates? Bates.
Yeah.
Always called his mother mother.
There you go. And
in
well,
our
of course,
house.
Mike Pence calls his wife mother.
Yes, that's
that is
that's,
weirder.
That's
okay.
Nice.
That's come
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. How many boxes of thin mints do I need to eat before I start seeing results?
Oh, that one's awesome.
Am I excited my new thesaurus is coming? You could say I'm very excited. Again, it hasn't arrived yet. Being a zombie wouldn't be that bad if it weren't for all the walking.
That's funny.
I like that too.
If I'm found dead in the bathtub clutching a toaster, check for Pop-Tarts before jumping to conclusions. And the last one is this. If a woman looks sad, tell her, "You'd be pretty if you smiled more," and you won't see her looking sad ever again because you will be dead.
These are that's a fresh month of
what
good
a month!
Ones.
What a month!
Good month for the tweets,
for the Twitters. For the thank you, Eric Zorn. More with Eric in just a little bit. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Yeah, we're rocking into the night with Eric Zorn.
We sure are, Eric. The Supreme Court has ruled about this Colorado banker who did not want to make a cake for a gay wedding. Spoiler alert, how did it end?
It ended with a 7-2 decision that favored the baker. Now,
meaning that the baker has the right, if through some religious belief of the baker's,
well, not
they don't want
exactly.
to create this cake.
And this is what's really interesting about this decision. It's going to be played, I mean, the headline is, as we've just discussed, it's like, Supreme Court rules in favor of this baker. And essentially, if you go back in 2012, a gay couple comes to this a baker in Colorado and says they'd like to have a wedding cake made. Mm-hmm. And his claim is that he is an artist and that this is an expression, that making a cake is an expressive act,
mm-hmm.
and that you're forcing him to make an expression favoring gay marriage that he doesn't want to make. It violates his religious beliefs. Now, I happen to believe that baking a cake is not an expressive act. Nobody goes to a wedding and sees the cake and goes, "Oh, the baker must really approve of this union." I mean, that's absurd, I mm-hmm. believe. And that's not what this case turned on. What happened was, it's a 7-2 decision written by Anthony Kennedy, who's been favorable to gay rights. And it looks a little bit like he tried to figure out a way to punt this this matter, and he did, because what the case says is that the Colorado Human Rights Commission, I believe it's what it's called, Civil Rights Commission, Human Rights Commission, the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, when they heard this case in the first place, mm-hmm. that they erred by not giving enough deference to the cake baker's religious beliefs, that they you know, were calling them irrational and offensive, and that this violated his rights in that case. So that what they were saying is they were sort of scolding the rights commission for not giving enough weight to his views. So they sort of essentially they overturned the lower court ruling, and it's not clear to me, and the case is deliberately vague as to whether, you know, on the question of whether the baker was correct, if the rights commission had said, well, we believe that this is a sincere and normal religious belief, but we still think that you need to accommodate this couple. So in a sense, they didn't really rule on the key question here. They ruled on the conduct yeah. of the lower commission. So really what's left unresolved is this question of whether a couple coming in and saying, you know, "I'd like you to bake me a cake," and the person saying, "Well, this is going to violate my religious beliefs." That question, they dodged it in a sense. The dissenting opinion was from Ginsburg and Sotomayor, two women on the court, and they were just sort of strongly against this. They felt that the guy was totally wrong to
yeah.
do this. Justice Thomas's opinion, there were a bunch of different concurring opinions, but the main opinion that had 7 votes, but there were some concurring opinions. One of them was Justice Thomas, who was really into this idea that this guy's religious beliefs were being violated. It was the opinion that we all kind of dreaded. But if you look at how the court kind of sliced and diced it up, it looks like there was like only about maybe 3 or 4 votes for the baker, not 5, for his position. And this is going to come back.
So how did this win then?
Well, because the lower court was overturned. The lower court that upheld the right of the gay couple. Because, and this goes back to, because essentially what happened was the court rebuked the Civil Rights Commission in Colorado, said that you guys, when you had this hearing, you didn't adequately give enough deference to this man's sincerely held religious belief. So the question that I have is, okay, what if I have a sincerely held religious belief that religious intermarriage is wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And there, that's certainly the case. There are certainly people who don't believe that mm-hmm. Christians and Jews should marry, for instance. I know my wife is Jewish, and we had a hard time finding a rabbi to marry us when we got married. So there are people who feel this way. So what if a baker says, well, I'm not going to make a cake for your wedding because I don't believe in Jews and Christians intermarrying.
Then I'd go to another baker give them the business.
You go to another baker. The question is, though, do you want to allow people to have this, to be able to exercise this belief as a matter of commerce? And so what it turns on is whether a business person can treat people differently who are in these protected classes. If they would sell a cake to a, you know, in this case,
two
Catholics, or if they would sell a cake to them, they would have to sell the same cake to a gay couple or to an interfaith couple. So what it ends up boiling down to is this issue of how sincere this belief is that this guy has, and this is
and how do you prove that?
This is something that makes me very uncomfortable, which is the idea of the courts saying, "Well, your belief, Wendy, your religious objection to this is sincere, but Bill's is clearly contrived."
Yeah,
you know, I don't really like the idea of the courts trying to get into people's hearts.
It's a dangerous
like that. It is
territory.
A slippery slope. One of the arguments that the religious conservatives made in this case is they went around. They actually did this. They did a test case where they went to various bakeries in Colorado, and they tried to get them to bake a cake, you know, with a Bible on it, with a verse on it saying, you know, or writing on it, essentially saying that homosexuality is sinful.
Yeah.
And they wanted them to make that cake, and the bakeries refused to do this. And the distinction you would make there is that this bakery would never make a cake that would say this on it for anybody. They wouldn't make it for a straight couple. They wouldn't make it for a gay
couple.
Just
because it's too jarring.
They wouldn't want to advance a message of hate,
right?
Using their cake.
Right.
That's different than the idea of, like, I just want you to make me a cake. It doesn't, the cake these guys were asking for wasn't like, gay sex is great, you know, we love gay. It was just a wedding cake.
Right,
you know?
With their names on
it. Presumably. So the question is, like, who's
right?
Where
does somebody get the cake you just described, by the way? Is there a bakery that sells that cake?
I'm sure in Chicago you can get
somewhere?
Anything.
All right.
I think it's
why you want to get that.
I didn't know such a cake existed.
No, it
I'm
could
curious
be. I'm
about
just
that.
Saying, I'm just speaking hypothetically.
Yeah.
So I think that we need to take a deep breath about this decision and realize that it wasn't a sweeping decision saying you can discriminate against gay people. That this is which I was afraid of a little bit, that this was going to be a really broad decision. But often the court does this, and it takes a big issue like this, and it really focuses way down on the particulars of this one case.
But
so there's not a lot of precedent that was established here.
Well, here is some precedent. Remember the woman who worked at the office where you go in for a marriage license, and she wouldn't issue a marriage license to a gay couple?
Yeah, what was
her
name?
So how does that tie in? If in this case a court is saying, if you can prove that you have some religious problem with the incident, then you don't have to do your job. Couldn't everybody then claim they have religious?
But one is legal, one is a cake.
Yes, exactly. Well, and of course, one is an act of government, and the other one is an act of business accommodations. The other thing is, you know, what if there's a hotel a Catholic hotel owner that doesn't want to rent to
Muslims,
Protestants, or Muslims, or something like that.
Right.
And essentially, what this, you know, if you broaden the lens a little bit, what this did is it really makes those who are making decisions like this take religious claims more seriously, that you can't just brush them off, and that is, I think, good.
Is it, though?
Well,
you think it is?
Well, I think it is when you're talking about, like, say a community didn't want to have, like, a mosque in their community, and they were just saying, well, we don't want to have Muslims here. And so that's kind of the analogy here, is that they were just what you want to have is, you want to have a city or suburb that's making a decision about where to place a house of worship, making it on on zoning matters, on traffic, but not on the content of the religion that's
right.
being expressed. So you want your government to be neutral about those things, and not to say, in this case, evidently, I haven't read the actual Human Rights Commission, but according to the opinion, you know, that they were saying that his belief, the baker's belief, was irrational, was offensive. That you don't want your government bodies making that kind of a call. You want them to give deference to this,
sure.
this religious belief. So it doesn't strike me something that's like horrifying. My first response was, well, I'm a little alarmed. I'd have liked it to go the other way. I think that the two dissenting justices made a better point, in my own view. But this is not like this kind of sweeping decision that sets back gay rights, you know, or back even before 2015 when the gay marriage was
legalized. But isn't it too early to tell that? Like, isn't it the aftermath of what happens now? That's the true tale, right?
Well, again, I think the central question here that everybody had wasn't really addressed. Which has it is like, can a baker, can a photographer just say, well, you're gay, I'm not going to serve you.
Right.
Generally, the expansion of these rights has been that, no, you can't discriminate against people because of sexual orientation.
But people do.
People
all
do.
All the time.
People do. So the question is this a big setback for that? I think the answer is no. But certainly that question is going to be tested because there are all kinds of test cases ready to go. It's like what's happening in the abortion rights area right now, where you mm-hmm. have places like Iowa passing extremely restrictive abortion bans. They're just hoping to get back to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court is more conservative now than it was. And if Donald Trump is reelected, or if he's able to appoint some more justices in the next 2 years, it's going to get more conservative. And you may be able to see some of these cases rolled back, the rights rolled back. Even further. So
you mentioned Mike Pence a little while ago. Mike Pence is known to be a very religious man with strong convictions,
right.
and not the gayest friendly politician that we've ever seen either.
No, I wouldn't say
so
that, yeah.
Isn't there some alarm there that should he reach a higher office, we might see a little more of a bend that way?
Yeah, you might. It's hard to tell. I actually think that Donald Trump in his heart is pro-choice.
Yeah.
He certainly was for many years.
Yep.
And, you know, he is, I don't think he's sincere about a lot of things. There's some things that really animate him. Trade clearly animates
yeah.
Trump. I don't think that these social issues really make him move. I believe that he remains pro-choice in his heart, but he realizes that his entire political base is quite strongly pro-life. So he's not going to go there.
Yeah.
Mike Pence, on the other hand, is, as you point out, sincerely conservative.
Yeah.
So it's the question is if Trump loses or if Mike Pence ascends, yeah, that would be different. I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
I don't think Donald Trump is going to be impeached. I don't think he's going to be removed. I hope he's going to be defeated in 2020. But
it's all been very predictable so far, Eric.
It's all, yeah, so
everything's been very easy to read.
I've got a perfect record.
Yeah.
Is that Steve Bertrand walking?
Nope.
In? No, oh,
nope.
He looks like
you're
Steve
seeing things. That's Eric Zorn, the great columnist for your Chicago Tribune. Read him anytime you get a chance. Thanks so much, Eric.
Good
we'll
to
talk
see
to you in a week. We'll find Steve Bertrand, find out what he's got coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.